Jesus' words in Luke 6 smack us upside the head a little bit, especially for those of us who have, maybe not rich, but a decent amount enough in the bank account. Those of us who had a decent breakfast, or at least could have if we were at that time. And those of us who enjoy laughing and enjoying life and like affirmation from people around us. So what's Jesus up to here in Luke 6 in this sermon on the plain? Well, he's trying to show us today as his people that the good life of the world is not always the same as the good way of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is about wholeness and righteousness. It's about riches and satisfaction and joy. It's about love and approval. Jesus does and says as much in our text. He heals the sick, cures those with unclean spirits. He promises the kingdom of God, satisfaction, joy, and a great reward in heaven. But where do those come from? When do they come? And what form do they take? You see, Jesus standing in the stead of the prophets like Jeremiah and many places of wisdom literature in the Old Testament is showing the two ways before us, the way of the world or the way of God and his kingdom. You see, the world works one way. It expects God to work in the same way. But God and his word come to us in Christ and in his whole word and show us the true way of his kingdom. Now, we know the world wants healing and wholeness. There's a reason that the Mayo Clinic does billions of dollars of business annually, isn't it? There's a reason mental health awareness is rightfully on the rise. There's a reason you go to the dentist, eat healthy, maybe not on Super Bowl Sunday, but still. And there's a reason you have that surgery and do those exercises. And we see in Luke 6, in our text, that Jesus is about healing and wholeness. We see him perform miracles that bring this healing and wholeness to people in their lives. The kingdom of God, after all, is about the restoration of all things. But especially as we read about the miracles, you may begin to wonder, what if I don't get a miracle? What if even Mayo can't find a cure for my cancer? What if I still struggle with depression and anxiety? What if I still need that root canal, have that back pain, my heart begins to fail? We're tempted to think that the world around us might say, well, you must not be blessed. But for Jesus, sickness of whatever sort doesn't mean you're outside the kingdom. In fact, for him, he looks much deeper, even the sickness of soul. And he says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. The kingdom of God comes to and blesses those who know their sickness and need. And so whatever that sickness might be in your life, cancer, depression, heart failure, back pain, even the soul sickness of sin, it does not mean you are less blessed by God or less a part of his kingdom. And this plays out through the rest of these blessings and woes that Jesus tells us about today. He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Now, it's no secret, I think, that the world, and you and I, want riches. And we know that's comparative, for sure. We know we all can't be Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. But another $1,000 would be nice. And then another. And another, and another. That's the temptation of riches, isn't it? The temptation towards discontent with what God provides at whatever level we have it in our life. And so, as the thinking goes, well, if I count my blessing from God based on the size of my bank account, what if I get a pay cut? Or lose my job? What if I have a massive medical bill and I can't pay it, or I can't afford the nicest and brand newest of whatever it is? What if my financial status in life gets cut down a few rungs, maybe even to the bottom? Am I no longer blessed? God no longer on my side? That's why Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. God doesn't measure his riches and blessing by the size of the bank account he gives us, or that we have. The temptation of riches is to find our comfort and our consolation now in the stuff of this life, rather than the one who is called the consolation of Israel, rather than in the Messiah and his Holy Spirit, whom he calls the consoler. No matter how poor or how rich by worldly standards, God gives you the riches of his kingdom only through Jesus. The riches of God's kingdom isn't about the piles of gold either here or in eternity, but the riches of God's mercy, his eternal salvation for you in Jesus Christ. And so that's why 1 Timothy 6 says it this way: as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, that is, to think that they are more blessed by God than others because of their wealth, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches which are here today and may be taken away tomorrow, but to set their hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, like we all are. They are to be rich in good works, like we all are. To be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, that they may take hold of that which is truly life, life not found in the abundance of riches, but the richness of knowing God and Jesus Christ. And that wealth, that treasure, is open to all, however many or few pennies you have to your name. Jesus also says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. But woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. We long to be satisfied, don't we? Yes, with food and 3 square meals a day, but so much more, right? All the different desires we have, whether that's to travel or our vision for retirement, desires for family and friends, where we live, what type of house we have, and so much more. Then we have even higher desires, for sure, things like love and justice and peace, satisfactions we want and we strive for. We're conditioned for this by our whole world, right? Our purchases are 100% refundable and returnable if we're not 100% satisfied. If we don't get no satisfaction, we need to send the thing back. But does God give refunds? And again, if I'm not satisfied with something, is God there in it? Is he on my side? Am I blessed if I feel dissatisfied about something or in some way? Is the temptation of not being satisfied is to take satisfaction into my own hands? And that almost universally turns the thing I have wanted and turns it into its opposite. Justice in my own hands turns into the injustice of revenge and vengeance. Love in my own hands devolves into lust or hate. Peace in my own hands and on my own time and my own terms devolves into violence. When I demand what I want, when I want it, how I'm going to have it, I feel justified in taking it, no matter what the cost. But the kingdom of God is about satisfaction. Blessed are you who are hungry now, you shall be satisfied. And in fact, our longings and dissatisfaction, our times of hungering to be filled beyond the fluff and stuff of this world, it all points us to God's greatest satisfaction. The satisfaction we receive, the satisfaction he gives us in Jesus. And certainly this starts with the satisfaction made for sins at the cross. The ultimate satisfaction of knowing that God is yours and his mercy and grace is for you in Jesus Christ. What greater satisfaction can there be than knowing the creator of the universe so deeply and so intimately as to call him father and friend? To know that he blesses you, that he is with you, that he's on your side at all times and in all places. And so if we have longings and desires that go unsatisfied here, it is sometimes just God pointing you to, inviting you to, and drawing you into a greater satisfaction in Him alone. You will be satisfied when you find and see in God all that you need. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. But woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And we're told it's healthy to laugh. We love to laugh and to know joy and to be happy in this too, in its time and place, is a good gift from God. The same question arises, right? Has God abandoned me in times of sadness? When I'm not happy, when I can't feel joy, is God no longer there for me? Or worse, am I sad only because I don't have enough faith? Or in my